I'm Steve Yannanek. I'm head of the Department of Entomology at Purdue University. And I'm going to just sort of highlight the things that may be a little bit different or maybe issues that I think are particularly important for my university. If you take a look at the people that have departed my department since 2000 and look at the people who we've replaced them with, you start to get a sense of the kinds of shifts that are occurring in our discipline. We've lost a nematology extension specialist, an IPM specialist, a host plant resistant person. The asterisk in this case means an ARS adjunct faculty member. The double asterisks on the bottom on the right-hand side are new research faculty that have been a new designation that we have at Purdue. So you see that there are some shifts that are occurring. And unfortunately, I think that to a certain extent, our faculty do reflect the teaching that we do, but I'm not sure that the teaching that we do reflect the needs of our students in the best way possible. The amount of time it takes to make the kinds of changes to meet those needs usually is way too long. So where you see the biggest change is when you get a big new influx in faculty hires. Some of the new areas of emphasis in our department since 2000, of course, tremendous growth in molecular area, molecular biology, and arthropod genomics. We've added new capabilities in environmental stewardship, particularly in the hardwood forest systems, because here's a commodity that's been crying for support, but also gives us an opportunity to pursue some very basic science. And urban entomology, in the broadest sense, is an area where there's been tremendous growth, not just in the structural pest management arena, but also turf grass, IPM in schools, public health. So this is an area that's grown tremendously. Forensic science is an activity that many departments of entomology are getting involved in, if for no other reason, but it could be because of the increased student contact hours that it provides. And of course, international activities, something that all of us have done a certain amount of, and we see in our department that it's becoming a bigger component of the things that we're doing. I want to raise a few issues in a few areas. Discovery, I'm thinking in terms of research, but discovery from applied to basic. We're going to need to be identifying expertise that's got the capability of participating in these interdisciplinary big science initiatives. And you've seen them discussed today, like bioenergy, human health and nutrition, environmental sustainability, et cetera. Also, translational science capabilities. What that means, I think, depends on who's putting the money up, but we've got to find a way to bring our molecular folks across the street working with our real applied folks, and I think that's going to happen largely with new hires, people that come in with capabilities in both areas. The idea of putting all the molecular people in a building separately just doesn't make sense to me, but I know the trend that's happened. Bioinformatics is a huge demand. As I'm learning from my molecular colleagues, we're generating so much data, but we don't have the tools and the capabilities of working with it. And of course, I think one area that all of us are looking at is finding ways to endow our programs and endow some chairs. And this is the best way that whether it's industry or commodity groups, I think can express their interest in supporting our work. On the learning front, certainly flexible curriculum needs to be there to reflect the needs of the students. Getting involved in undergraduate research, inquiry, experimental, experiential learning, problem-solving, teamwork, it's all been brought up before. And you know what? It's not something that we do very well because we don't have a lot of experience. So we're all just getting started in this area. One of the challenges that some of us have is in our universities, we don't have a common undergraduate life science or environmental science curricula. And when students come to the university looking for these areas, they don't really know where to go. It's spread all over the map. Regulatory science as either courses or curriculum is something that is clearly needed. And most of us, either in our departments, have a little section in a course or maybe in another course in one of the colleges, but certainly not a comprehensive program. I think there's an opportunity for a new interdisciplinary major there. And then John just talked about online distance education. I absolutely agree. But no department's going to stick their neck out if there's no institutional commitment or support. Engagement side, Beth was talking about from extension point of view, we need, in addition to people that are the experts in these commodities or these systems, we need people that can provide impact assessment. See, my time's already up. Distance education, online learning delivery. Also, I think that commitment to science education is an area that is certainly underrepresented. We're going to have public support. We're going to need the public to understand what we do. And then Spanish language capabilities. A couple of considerations that I think are cut across the board. It's going to be a period of tight funding. It's going to be the next 5 to 10 years. So if you're going to be successful, I think you're going to have to be focused and look at diversifying your funding portfolio. Cost of new hires. All of us that try to find a startup understand this is getting increasingly expensive. And there's going to be a tremendous competition for talent in the future. So, conclusions. I think you'll see more focus in our departments. There'll be concentrations of expertise so we can develop signature areas that will make us more competitive. We're going to see those programs diversifying their funding, not relying only on federal funds, but embracing industry, also going to foundations and maybe going offshore. Those of us that are involved in extension and outreach need to continue to embrace our stakeholders and our clientele group. They are largely the reason that we continue to maintain our visibility and our viability as departments. And we're going to certainly hire the best people possible, but be ready for this post-baby boomer crunch. There's going to be a lot of job opportunities, but I'm not so sure what the pool's going to look like. And then finally, be flexible and nimble. Okay. On that note, I'd like to invite Carl Jones to give another perspective.
I agree with everything that's been said so far. Next. I have a small mixed department, if you will. The department itself isn't so small. We've got about 25 scientists, but only 13 of them right now are entomologists, and we're searching for another position. Of those 13, six are full-time extension, and the other six are research and teaching, with a total of one FTE in teaching. As you can imagine, with 16 courses taught, and mostly in alternating years, the extension faculty participate reasonably heavily in those courses. And we have, with 18 graduate students currently, four of them are working with extension faculty. All four of those are master's students. About half of our students are PhD. So there are no, so far, I've been there almost 8 years. So far, none of the graduate students that have come in have wanted to get a PhD with an extension faculty member. It's always been a master's, always very, very applied in nature. And that, in a way, that's worked out very well. When I first came there, we had 10 faculty members, sorry, 9. And at the time, every research and teaching faculty member essentially was expected to service a commodity. And that commodity was generally the one of those which the extension faculty members were reporting on to the growers. So that has changed. The extension folks are now expected to do research other than demonstration research, publishable research. And that's not my choice. Fortunately, the institution has gone that way. But with, as I mentioned before, 16 courses that we teach. Three of them are in conjunction with plant pathology, which is the other half of my department. And four of them are intended to be at least partly service courses for undergraduates and other programs. We have no undergraduates. We have, in my opinion, some extremely important courses missing in terms of both a master's and a PhD program. And in order to get those courses to our students, we would need to have distance education opportunities with other departments, whether we're exchanging courses or whether it's just those that our institution is willing to, quote, buy from other institutions, really doesn't matter to me. The problem is that at this point, our institution and a number of institutions, I believe in the Southeast at least, have extremely high barriers to doing such things. And that's something that at least our current deans are working on, but it's much further up in administration than the deans of the Colleges of Agricultural Sciences in general. It's usually up at the vice presidential and even the chancellor's level at times. In the next 3 years, I'll be having at least 4 retirements, so 4 out of 13. Actually, I'm hiring a faculty member now, so 4 out of 14 is pretty high. Be a lot of turnover, which is good because a lot of the people that will be leaving are trained in only one area, and it's really generally, quote, IPM, unquote. And what we've been able to hire in the last few years, and it's getting more and more difficult to find them, are people who are using molecular biology in one way or another as a tool, but do have the ability to do applied research in addition to the basic research, which is going to be funding the majority of their program. Now, fortunately, I've been able to convince the people who came in at first and took any grant that was available, whether it had as low as 15.1% overhead. Anyway, they were willing to take any grant that came their way at first, and it was a little bit more difficult to convince them when that first NSF grant came that they wanted to go back to other sorts of grants, but most of them recognize the importance of staying visible in the eye of the public because we are a land-grant institution. And I think everything else has been said by other people. Thank you.